One of the issues in relationship to Roosevelt's disastrous declaration of unconditional surrender is the relationship between that announcement and America's relationship with the Soviet Union. Unfortunately, a lot of the historiography about Franklin Roosevelt is written in the form of hagiography of Franklin Roosevelt can do no wrong among particularly liberal establishment historians. And there's also a problem with many of these historians who don't bother reading Russian archives or Russian records. Some of them don't seem to read much of anything at all, but that's a whole nother matter. However, there's been the illusion that Roosevelt did this to please Stalin or to keep Stalin in the war. In reality, Stalin was not notified and was absolutely furious when he heard about it. Stalin, you've got to understand that the Soviet Union was doing the majority of the fighting and the majority of the dying in World War II. Russia lost 20 million people in World War II. America lost 400,000 on both fronts. So that will give you a perspective of who was doing the fighting and the dying. After Stalingrad, Stalin had General Paulus, who had basically just about enough of Hitler, to go on the radio and broadcast to the German military that surrender could be very conditional. This is important because the Russians were taking enormous casualties and would lose millions upon millions upon millions of soldiers as the war went on. So it was very urgent that the war be concluded in some kind of rational, orderly manner. So this was not done to please Stalin and was not done to encourage better relations between Soviet Union and America. Now, at the Tehran Conference, which is probably the single most important conference of the war in 1943, Stalin brought up his objections to unconditional surrender. Now, again, there's a lot of problems with the records of Roosevelt and so on, of things being scrambled and confused. The evidence seems fairly clear that when Stalin brought it up at a dinner organized by Roosevelt, Roosevelt had left the room due to what was claimed to be indigestion, or might have been just another aspect of Roosevelt's disastrous health problems that were hidden from the public. After the conference, Stalin again brought up the issue of unconditional surrender and asked that Roosevelt change it. Roosevelt flatly refused. The end result of all this is that millions upon millions of people would die. Because there was no plan for any intelligent negotiations. This has to be put against the backdrop, by the way, of the broken promises of Roosevelt and Churchill to Stalin. At great personal risk in 1942, Soviet Foreign Minister Molotov made a trip to the West. We say at great personal risk because he had his plane fly over Nazi-occupied Denmark to get to England and eventually America. Now, when Molotov met Roosevelt, and the transcript of that matter is on our website, Roosevelt, with the hearty support of General Marshall, very specifically promised Molotov that a invasion of Western Europe would take place in 1942. Now, the court historians and the advertising agents of Roosevelt have tried to say that Molotov misunderstood this and didn't understand that maybe this might mean torch in North Africa. You just have to read the transcript. There was no misunderstanding about this, none whatsoever. On the other hand, Churchill, a person who was drunk throughout a good part of the war, adamantly opposed launching an invasion of Nazi-occupied Europe, and instead wanted Western troops diverted to prop up British colonial possessions in North Africa via Operation Torch. So that was done, and most of the aid to Russia before Stalingrad was cut off, which led to very negative feelings on the part of the Russians. Churchill in 1942 went to Moscow and emphatically, unconditionally, totally promised Stalin that an invasion of Europe, no ifs, ands, or buts, would be launched in 1943. This goes back to the whole mess of the Casablanca Conference and the whole mess of Allied policy. One of the biggest battles in World War II was between the US military leaders and Churchill and his cronies. The US military leaders favored a policy of strategic bombing aimed at German military facilities and key industries. Churchill favored a bombing of incinerating entire German cities, in other words, a policy of civilian mass murder, which was euphemistically described as area bombing. That was problem number one. Problem number two is that Churchill wanted, because he believed the area bombing would bring the Germans to surrender, opposed any kind of serious action in Western Europe, and did everything possible to sabotage it, including diverting British war production away from landing craft towards bombers to bomb German civilians. The diversion of the Western forces to Operation Torch, which was, by the way, an invasion of a neutral country, Vichy France. People forget Vichy France really was neutral. They were not actively supporting Germany. Had the predictable result. The diversion of these enormous amounts of forces to that project basically drastically undermined the ability to build up these forces in England for an attack across the Channel. And another disaster of the Casablanca Conference was the decision to move towards Italy rather than bringing the forces north to attack across the Channel. So that's also a factor that needs to be mentioned here. So these are some basic facts, and we should see the policy of unconditional surrender for what it was, a totally idiotic disaster that killed millions of people, and extended the war.